I want us to turn to the passage that we read a little while ago in our service, to 1 Kings chapter 10. And here we have the account of when the Queen of Sheba came up from the country where she ruled to visit Solomon in Jerusalem. And she came with a purpose to investigate the reports that she had heard in her own country. She had heard about the wealth of Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon, and the worship of this great king, and she wanted to see for herself exactly whether this was the case or not. She wanted to know whether the reports were as good as she had heard. And we have in this Queen of Sheba a good example for us to follow. We find that she doesn't suffice herself in listening merely to reports of what others have experienced or what others have found out to be true for themselves, but she wanted to discover for herself whether this man Solomon was as good as she had heard. Solomon was famous throughout the whole world at that particular time, and she wanted to discover personally what kind of man he was. Did his reputation match the reality? So we find that she comes. She comes down to Jerusalem in verse 2 with a very great train. And here in her coming to Jerusalem to see Solomon, we see parallels with the sinner that comes to Christ. We find that she makes a long journey. She makes this journey with all of the expense, all of the time that goes into making this journey, and she comes in her quest to try Solomon. She leaves where she was and goes to Solomon where he is. Now, dear friends, if a person is to be saved in this world, if we are to know the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and have our sins forgiven, it is no use just hearing about salvation. It is no use just hearing what the Lord has done for others, although that is good, nonetheless. But what we find from this lady here, this Queen of Sheba, she came. She came to Solomon, and in the same way, sinners must come to Christ if they are to be saved. The Word of God does not say, "All who hear about me, I will in no wise cast out." No, it says, "All who come to me, I will in no wise cast out." In John 14:6, it does not say, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by hearing about me." It doesn't say that. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so if we are to come to God, we are to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have in the Psalms that exaltation, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Not just take my word for it, but experience it for yourself. It is to be experienced and discovered by the individual. Now, dear friends, we may know an awful lot about Jesus. We may know all kinds of details. We may know where he was born. We may know facts concerning his parents. We may know the kinds of teachings that he proclaimed. We may know what he came to do. But, dear friends, have we come, like the Queen of Sheba to Solomon, have we come to Christ? And have we found out these things personally? But furthermore, we find not only does she come, but she also comes with her questions. We find how she wants to know certain things. We find in verse 1 how she came to prove him with hard questions. She doesn't come to ask about trivial things, mundane things. She comes with weighty matters. Now, we're not told concerning the exact details of her questions, but no doubt concerning what we have in the latter part of this chapter, we see that it's all to do with his wisdom, it's all to do with his riches, and it's all to do with Solomon's God. And so we find her asking about things concerning government and rule, worship of God, the way in which he is, who he is, and by what means he has become the man that he has become. And so she comes with hard questions, and all of these hard questions that she comes to Solomon with are all answered. When we think about the parallel in the gospel, when the sinner comes to Christ, they no doubt have questions and queries. They don't come with trivial matters to the Saviour, but they come with hard questions. The sinner that is seeking the Lord wants to know, is this Saviour able to save? Is this Saviour that I'm coming to willing to save? Is this Saviour able to save me with all of my sin? With all of my guilt? Has he paid it all? These are the hard questions that the seeking sinner comes with. And we may ask further questions. Well, what about this sin or that sin? What about that failure or this failure? Has he saved to the uttermost, or is there some part that he has not atoned for? Dear friends, have you come to Christ with all of your questions, with all of your hard questions? But like Solomon for the Queen of Sheba, there's not going to be a question too hard for the Lord. There's not going to be a question that will leave him confounded, unable to give a satisfactory answer. He is that all in all. So not only does she come, not only does she question, but she worships as well. She is filled with the worship of the Lord. She says in verse 9, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." She's overwhelmed by the magnificence of the kingdom of Solomon, and it directs her to worship God. She blesses the Lord in his dealings with and with the prosperity of Solomon. When we find the sinner comes to Christ and discovers the wonder of salvation in Jesus Christ, they too are filled with praise to God and his great love and grace towards sinners. When we have that awareness, that appreciation of what God has done, the only response that we can ever have is one of worship and adoration. Nothing less will satisfy. But I want us to focus this evening in a bit more detail on verse 7 and to this particular phrase. Well, we'll read the whole of the verse to get the context. Concerning the acts of the reports that she'd heard, she says, "Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came. Mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." In her great summary of the visit that she had to King Solomon, she is left with the feeling that every good thing that she had heard, however, every wonderful thing that she had considered and been told in advance, the reality of meeting Solomon and seeing what he had and who he was, she felt like the half was not told her. I want us this evening to see in Solomon a type of Jesus Christ. The sinner will hear many wonderful things about Jesus. They will be told who he is, what he has done, But when they find him, and when they know him, and when they experience him, they too can say, the half had not been told us. And if we are believers here this evening, we will know that to be true for ourselves. Oh, we felt our sin. We were told how the Lord had come into the world to save sinners such as we. But until we found him and experienced him for ourselves, these were just reports. But the reality is far more glorious, far more wonderful. So I want us to think in the first place concerning this report that she had and how this report is surpassed by the reality. I don't know whether you're used to doing a lot of research when you buy things. My wife is very good at spending time on the internet doing research, whatever it might be. We bought a car a couple of years ago and we spent many hours working out what the best car was to buy. Which one gave the best miles per gallon, which one cost the most to insure, which one gave us the most room, that kind of thing. And so when we do our research, we will look at the reviews of other people, what they found, what they experienced, and you'll collate all this information before you go ahead with your purchase. Well, on paper, it seems like we're going to get a good deal. On paper, and from the reports of others, it seems like it's going to be a good thing. But sometimes when the reality comes, we suddenly find that the report that we had does not match what we expected. Not because it surpasses it, but because it is inferior to it. And when we think about these things here, it wasn't a case that when she got to Jerusalem and met Solomon, that she's left disappointed. She feels that the reports that she had did not do justice to the reality. The reality surpasses the report. Well, when we think about Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, she heard good things. What was her experience? Did they match what she had heard? Was there some falling short of these reports? No, he surpassed them. And her testimony was this, the half has not been told me. Well, had she heard inferior reports? Were they inadequate? Were they not really very good reports? Well, I don't think she would travel all that distance with all that vast amount of money required to do that journey, taking all that time to complete that expedition if she had not heard great things. But even the great things that she had heard were surpassed in the reality. If you turn to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42, and here we have a very striking verse that helps us in our thinking this evening. Matthew 12 and verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Who is this verse referring to? Well, it is to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that is speaking. He's speaking concerning judgment, concerning the end times. And here he refers to himself as being a greater than Solomon. Jesus speaks about the Ninevites in this chapter, how they will rise in judgment upon the generation that Jesus was addressing. And he proclaims himself to be greater than Jonah. He uses another example. This queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, how she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to try Solomon. And she says that, you know, the Lord says concerning himself, a greater than Solomon is here. When this queen came face to face with Solomon, she was overwhelmed by his wisdom, by his glory. But the Lord Jesus Christ surpasses Solomon in all of these things. If the Queen of Sheba was struck by Solomon, how much more so would she be struck by the Lord Jesus Christ? He is not the King of Israel only, but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It is the responsibility of preachers to speak of Christ, to declare Christ, to make him known, to put into language what the Lord has done and describe him in the best ways that we can possible. But the end result will always be, we cannot say enough. We cannot articulate well enough. Language is too limited to describe him. Emotions cannot portray who he is. And we have found that the reality of Christ surpasses all the reports. When we come to God's Word, when we hear the ministry of God's Word through the preaching of it or through testimony of others, do we know the reality in our own hearts to be a wonderful thing? If when we come to consider the Lord and all that he has done, and we're indifferent to it and say, well, he's a good man, he's done great things, but he's not that special perhaps, then, dear friends, you've never discovered the Lord Jesus Christ. You're still yet in your sins. But the soul that comes and finds Christ, oh, all the reports they hear, in reality, Christ is more wonderful. But what was it? What parts of Solomon was it that she was most impressed about? Well, Solomon was known for his worldwide fame concerning his wisdom. We know that this wisdom was God-given. And we know that God gave him this tremendous ability. And we have in the book of Proverbs details concerning those lessons for life. And we see in the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, great wisdom coming through. And when we think about Solomon, he was a wise man. Consider that time when he is faced with that dreadful situation of two women claiming that one child. One of the women's child has died and the other child is still living. And there's this dispute as to whose child it is. He has tremendous wisdom to know how to deal with that situation. A God-given wisdom. And we find that men and women are struck by it. The wisdom of Solomon was known throughout all the world. But here in Matthew 12:42, we find that Jesus says of himself, a greater than Solomon is here. The wisdom of Christ surpasses the God-given wisdom given to Solomon. Do we think that Jesus had a little bit more wisdom than Solomon? Did he have a little bit more knowledge than this great king? The Lord, we know, spoke with wise words. We know that he confounded the wisdom of the Pharisees and the scribes of his day. The general consensus of the population at that time was, here was a man speaking with authority. His teaching was wise. His enemies would come trying to trap him, catch him out in his words, and they were all left with no answer. His wisdom was immense. But it wasn't a case of just having a little bit more wisdom, a little bit more knowledge, a little bit more understanding. Oh, we have the Lord Jesus Christ being wisdom personified. The Greek word that we have for wisdom gives the sense and root as clarity. This wisdom of Christ that surpasses Solomon's removes all ambiguity. It removes all uncertainty. It brings light and it brings reality. It shows what we are truly like. We know concerning the Lord Jesus Christ how he's come as the light into this world. He's come to dispel the ignorance of man entrenched in sin. He has come to bring light where the prince of the darkness of this world has blinded the eyes of men and women. The wisdom that Christ brings is one of focus, clarity, and understanding. What does his wisdom show us? It shows us what we're really like. By nature, we can observe it in our conversation with other people, those that are still in their sin, that men and women, by and large, think that they are masters of their own destiny. They think that men and women think that they can do just as they like, that they're the center of their own universe, that they know best, that they think that they're doing all right. This is what people think today. Perhaps this is what you think today. Jesus comes with this wisdom, with this clarity, with this unveiling, and shows us what we are really like. He shows us that we are in our sin. He shows us that we're in enmity to God. He shows us that our best efforts do not please God. It shows us that we are lost and hopeless. And at the same time shows to us that God is in control. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is all wise. God is sovereign in all things. And this is the wisdom that Christ brings. He shows us how we need to be saved, and shows us how we have an inability to save ourselves. But he shows us the way to God. If we are a Christian here this evening, then wisdom is made unto us in the person of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Are we wise tonight? Are we building our lives upon the words of Christ? Upon that wise one? Are we following in him? When we think about the wisdom that Christ brings, it is immense. And dear friends, we've only been told the half of it. Nothing compares to him or his wisdom. But another feature that the Queen of Sheba is marveled at concerning Solomon was his riches. Now we read in this chapter concerning his kingdom, and particularly from verses 10 down to the end. There we see all the gold. There we see all of the vessels brought into the house of the Lord. We see the armory being set up. We see how all kinds of exotic animals are brought into this kingdom from far points in the earth. We find how there is riches and abundance. The throne for Solomon is immense. The Lord had blessed Solomon like no other king in the history of the world. The temple which he built, the house which he lived in, are reckoned to be amongst the most beautiful, most spectacular that's ever been built in this earth. The Queen of Sheba heard all about it. But when she came and saw for herself, what did she say? The half has not been told her. There was no rival to Solomon with his riches. But when we think about Solomon and his riches, where are they now? Where is the temple that Solomon built? Ruined. We read those dreadful words, really, in Ezra, when they come back to rebuild the temple of God. How that the young men, they were rejoicing that the temple was being rebuilt, but the old folk that remembered the old temple, they wept. Why did they weep? Because the glory did not match what they had before. The vast kingdom, with all of its splendor, where is it now? That Solomon had, it's gone. But when we think about Christ, by contrast, oh, he is rich beyond measure. His kingdom is not a temporal kingdom. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His kingdom knows no end. It stretches from shore to shore. It is a kingdom which is always increasing, never decreasing. It is always a kingdom which is impregnable to attack, and it is not possible for it to be defeated. The kingdom of Christ is one that when we are in it, never more to leave it. The Queen of Sheba commenting, the might of the kingdom of Solomon said, she hadn't been told the half. If the kingdom of Solomon surpassed her wildest imaginations, how much the Lord Jesus Christ with his riches. We have in the New Testament in Ephesians concerning Christ and his riches. How does Paul describe them? He says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Christ is everything. Christ is wonderful. Christ is beautiful. Christ is everything. Words cannot describe him. Value cannot be placed upon it. The riches of Christ are unsearchable. Do you know that your soul this evening is of immense value? For the Christian, they know that because it has been bought, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. The world tonight, they're living for the here and now. They have no thought to their eternal soul. But for the believer, their soul has been entrusted to the one who is rich, the Lord Jesus Christ. What price can the Lord's people put upon the blood of their Savior? No price. Priceless. Valuable. Without comprehension. And the Lord gives riches to his people. He purchases them. He gives them eternal life. He takes their sin. He forgives them of their sin. He gives them his righteousness. He gives them his Spirit. He gives them access to the Father. He makes them kings and priests unto God. These riches are beyond our fathoming. Do we know the richness of Christ's kingdom? Do we know how rich he is? Do we know how rich we are if we are in him? But we find that Solomon, in all of his dealings with the Queen of Sheba, sought to bring her and point her to God. He pointed to the Lord as the source of all of his power, all of his riches, and all of his might, which is why she could say in verse 9, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." Wherever Solomon's wisdom and exploits were known, so was the God who had done it all. God was the one that provided all for him. God was the one that blessed him. God was the one that provided for him. And Solomon here acknowledges and ascribes all of his privileges to God. In a most amazing way, we find the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the world to reveal the Father and to glorify him. He has come to bring sinners to God. He has come, he has lived a perfect life, fulfilling all the demands of the law. He would offer himself as a worthy sacrifice for sin unto God. He would die as the innocent in the place of the guilty. Through his death, sinners that were condemned to hell are justified by his grace. And he would present his people to his Father. It is the name of Jesus Christ that saves. No other name, no other way, no other means. Save the person and work of Christ. Solomon, he ascribed his greatness to God. Jesus brings us to his Father through himself. And when we think about what Christ has done for the sinner, how he has done all that work, his love and mercy to those defiled by sin, ruined by the fall, true testimony of a true believer is this: the half has not been told me. When we get to glory and we see the Lord as he is, and when we spend eternity searching out as to what has happened and trace the plan of redemption all the way through, then we will see and then we will behold how wonderful our Savior is, and our theme in glory will be: we know him, but the half has not been told us. He is more wonderful than we thought, more glorious than we imagined, more powerful than we could comprehend, more loving than we could ever thought possible. He is more than we could ever have imagined. May we not be a people who just hear reports of the Saviour, but like the Queen of Sheba, that we come, question, find out, search out, and our experience to be the half has not been told us. May we be a people that taste and see that the Lord indeed is good. Amen. We're going to close by singing 203, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my price. 203.